Maybe.
Oh, yes, it's moving.
It's working.
I think it's recording.
Thank you.
So, do you want to start? Or?
Okay, I can start. So Bill and I worked out a list, and what we're thinking of, you know, with the list, we'll each pick some poems that could be related to the word, or could be part of the word, could be part of the poem. We picked out sad, blue, intense, wonder, sweet and sour, light, dark green, and red. So that's just to start out with, and then, you know, maybe if I hear him say something that would inspire me to pick out another poem, and I'll do that. So maybe you can pick what you want. Sad, blue, intense, wonder, sweet and sour, light, dark, red, or green?
Sweet and sour.
Sweet and sour, okay. Sweet and sour, I'm just thinking, you know, something fun and silly. My boyfriend, on a Sunday. He lounges on the sidewalk with uncombed hair, day-old stubbles, wearing a pair of green shorts that has big hair at the crotch and an oversized bright red pajama shirt. His latest lament is the sink stopper that would not pop open to let the water drain. His next big worry is the piece of matted hair dangling on the right jaw of his cat. One nagging agitation is a parking ticket citing his car partially blocking his neighbor's driveway. And his eyes still scan the streets for a softball that rolled out of his trunk down the hill 3 weeks ago. Other than that, he flashes a big grin and apologizes to the realtor who mistakes me for her client. She comes for me. Bill?
My poem is called Laboratory Conditions. When it began, I wasn't even 4 feet high. I cried hysterically. No one understood the what for. The how to was easy. We charged the pillbox on the bunker. Blameless in our passions, we'd weave between the explosions we saw echo real in our throats. My hero. She reversed the process in just 1 week of Easter. Quiet like a plastic surgeon, she changed to the after picture in the newspaper, her pink petal pushers by a pool. There were bound to be complications. Not to say the operation wasn't a success, but I still have a hard time explaining the importance of the fat lady I used to know, or that pretty girl with the remodeled face and a mind of her own left with it, taking a good part of my life in that suitcase with her. She did leave me these pink petal pushers, and look, they fit my arms like a straitjacket.
Should we continue with that theme?
Uh-huh.
I have another one. This is titled, Down the Wrong Way. I'm heading down the wrong way, yes, the wrong way, pushing against the flow. My mother says it's the wrong way. There's no light, no security, no guarantee. My ex says it's the wrong way. I won't survive. I'll crawl back. He'll have all the pleasure to play God then. But I'm tumbling down the wrong way, yes, the wrong way, crunching empty cans, kicking up dirt, trampling on garbage and broken glass. No one's there to bandage my cuts. It's the wrong way. There's no one there. Friends turn around and notice I'm not with them anymore. I don't say goodbye. I don't explain why. I've been on the right way so long I don't have time to pause, but to go on the wrong way, and pray that's not too late. I'm speeding down the wrong way. Yes, the wrong way. So I can see sky, so I can breathe air, so I can feel my trembles, so I can touch my wounds, so I can taste all wrong and grind them into spices, sharp, exotic, vibrant, the wrong one, the wrong kind, the wrong way, my way. And if it is my way, it shall be right. Thank you.
A personal history of coffee for Ron Salisbury. Oh, groggy mornings, oh, mornings clogged with unremembered dreams, rise and shine. The alarm has rung, the rooster has crowed. Coffee, I need you. You, the drug, the fix, the override. Coffee, I need your clarity. Buzz, buzz, busybody, busybody. Workers of the world united over coffee. Buzz, buzz. Coffee in my arteries, coffee in my capillaries, coffee in my veins, my adrenals, busybody, busybody, buzz, buzz. Wake up. Smell the coffee. It's all around you. Coffee of my youth, my mother and neighbor, Laverne. Gossip over coffee and cigarettes. Oh, caffeine Nita, goddess to Juan Valdez and me, his ass. I drink 20 to 30 cups a day. Jangle. Buzz, buzz, whirr. Oh, caffeineita, I'm slow, make me faster. Help me catch the muse, catch the muse's whisperings meant for me. She speaks so fast, I can't keep up. I need another cup. Colombian coffee, Costa Rican coffee, rainforest coffee, mountain-grown coffee, Arabican, Yuban, Nescafe instant coffee, freeze-dried, it's the crystals. Oh, caffeineita. Jangle. The daily grind, ground down, buzz, buzz, jangle. Screech, screech, screech. Burnout. Oh, decaf of my fourth and fifth decades. Oh, cold turkey. Drink lots of water. Caffeinated headaches for days. Grouch. 10,000 days of decaf, more, for fun, I'll take a non-fat decaf mocha, no whip, please, and no buzz. The barista says, why bother? Ah, remember my caffeinated days with Aunt Sylvie and Susma? Coffee? When we didn't have words? The endless pot of coffee on Collingwood, talking poetry? My first espresso at the Trieste? Michael Moore, don't look for blue-collar coffee in North Beach. It's not pretentious. It's romance and expensive. Go to the Mission, buzz, buzz. I did, and began again at 50, with moderation. Maxwell House, good to the last, busybody, busybody. Kona Coffee, coffee from Sumatra, from New Guinea. Antigua, Guatemala, Peru, Italian roast, French roast, Duchenne, bark and bite on the commute across the bridge with Bridget. Woof. Oh, caffeineita, drink to me only with thy buzz. Forget the cream and sugar. I've got the world in my cup. I don't need a boardroom. I take my coffee local, and I take it black.
Okay, so I have this. It's also about the Mission. The Mission Street, but it's not about coffee. This is titled Pawning. Frank is the man on Mission Street who takes care of your money need. He runs a shop with big glass windows to flaunt your rings, your watches, your griddles. Frank barks when I toddle near. Hey, buddy, it's you again. My doubts vanish at the instant he slaps my sorry back. His son David twiddles my chain and drops it on a scale. His fat hands calculate the figure. With a lick, the deal is sealed. Granddaddy unlocks the drawer, counts the bills with deft precision. Remember the rules, he gruffs through his nose. Your chain is ours 3 months from now. I strut down the street whistling, smoke a joint and play blackjack. Go home empty for the bed, my lady's face a lemon twist.
Money is green, so I'm going to go to spring.
Okay. What? Money is green, so you go to spring?
Yeah.
Green.
Okay. That's spring. Green.
Okay.
One of my green poems. Oh, wait a minute. No, it isn't.
You want to go to green?
Well, no. I can go to green, but I'm going to go to...
I have to find green.
Bacchus. This is a pantoum. Bacchus lights, my blood is wine. We hardly consider vine sap, the root's insistence. My blood is wine, my body equal parts light and dark, the root's insistence to push toward the stars. My body equal parts light and dark, my mind ferments dimensionality, to push toward the stars' radiant nature. My mind ferments dimensionality that intoxicates my eyes to radiant nature. Even dry air is fecund. Earth intoxicates my eyes. I stumble. Nothing is as it seems. Even dry air is fecund. The root source is invisible. I stumble. Nothing is as it seems. The sweet grapes of my desire. The root source is invisible. We can only theorize. The sweet grapes of my desire, soft explosions on my tongue like words. We can only theorize the alchemy earth protects. Soft explosions on my tongue like words. Bacchus lights. The alchemy earth protects. We hardly consider vine sap.
I was with my daughter. We went to New Zealand a year ago, and unfortunately we landed in the Northern Island, and I mean we saw a lot of things, but they said the really beautiful scenery is in the South Island, but I was enchanted by the fern. So this is a poem on the fern. Green. Unfold, fern of the forest, I have no answers to your questions. Straight up the soil, fist coiled, holding a dance. My steps waver, lost among decays, and fleeting visages of life do not make me wise. In my unfurling, the spine stiffened. I have one more.
Iris rises like a fire in the foreground. Is beauty fair? For whom? How far from fear my thoughts are. Pleasurable like a cat's fur, a cat's purr. A pair of powerful cats couldn't make it better, nor four. One per pier is all you need to make that pyre pure. Irises pour forth with more. Burn.
Okay. I have this one. I was traveling from Berlin to Prague on a train, and I saw these big tracts of meadows, and then suddenly there's a straight line and all the trees, you know, it's a forest. So I wrote a poem titled On the Edge of the Forest. I don't know why I can't find it. On the edge of the forest. On the edge of the forest, where it begins, where it ends. Shadow stretches toward the sun. Rain dances with drizzle. Grass grows into trees, and the trees yield to butterfly kisses, the light touch of a rabbit's feet, and sigh. Their leaves gently shaking exfoliate essence once hidden in the depth of the veins, and the wind glows, lifting incandescent dust, sprinkling awakening. And the forest swells, forgetting its boundary, steps into the unknown where wild things grow with valiant effort to preserve madness under the sun. On the edge of the forest, where it begins, where it ends, comes the flower dressed with dew, comes the grass, the trees, the wind, the rain, to give their sister soft embrace. As dusk falls and dawn unfolds, her enchanted presence envelops, and the poet comes with a song of disillusion, lies down beside her, simplicity and purity on the edge of the forest, where it begins, where it ends. I have no more green.
This is called Variations on a Theme by Rimbaud and Olson. Rimbaud is a French poet. About 2 centuries ago now. And Charles Olson was an American poet who played off of Rimbaud's poems only maybe a dozen lines, and then he wrote a couple pages off that, and so then I do 3 pages, so the next person's got to do at least 4. 1. Sugar pine bark made into boats. 3-pronged needles fill the forest floor. The kept trail is swept by traffic. Au saison, au château, what soul is without desire? Magic the study memory makes. Petals from apple trees swirl on Gravenstein Road. Morning stretches its black midnight neck to project the cock's chant, the chill waking wind pushing the pine's perfume. Just a whiff, happiness to charge, feeds body and soul. All effort ceases as living energies release. I've walked through seasons into a forest to find a home the hour of death will not trespass. 2. Sugar pine bark boats float with mast of twig. 3-pronged needles keep clear of clean trail sweeping through forest floor. Au saison. What soul is without sun and moon? Magic, a study riddled with green. A picture of white blossoms blowing at noon, etc., past Sebastopol asphalt. The road to Russian River redwoods. My memory is at home near Petaluma. I salute the crowing cock that wakes me, the shock of feathers shimmering, the light, never without shadows, and yet the moment free from envy. Au saison, au château. Ah, happiness, how complacent I can be. My living energy is a continuous charge alternating on a round spinning magnet. These seizing seasons make such a comfortable fence for forest's continuous charge. Even the hands of the hour of death pass by as if in charmed flight. 3. Sugar pine bark boats float down to Feather River. Twig mast, the last of a relived childhood memory, disappear in a rush of white winter snow, clear into summer. Bedrocks glazed with spring. The needle's three-pronged scent. It is clear the path has no beginning or end, but passes the spaces where tall trees grow. Oh, Chateau, what soul is without within? Petaluma smelled of eucalyptus and backyard roses. A magic study, poetry, a place I also call home, free of the clock's bungling. Cocks crow at dusk, they show no shame. Their high-pitched call takes the shape of the valley and disappears into the shadows silence makes. Wind charges through shimmering leaves, shaking boughs, crack! I note a change. I miss a million transitions. There can be no separation, no moments part in eternity. And yet, there is.
I actually have two more sort of a nature poem. Do you have any more?
I don't know. My mind is gone. So.
Do you want to move on or do you want
to stay? Maybe I can find some other thing to relate to on your next nature poem if you wanted to.
Okay. I have mushroom or driftwood. Which one would you like?
Driftwood.
Driftwood, okay. Thank you. Oh boy, let me see.
Unless you come across mushrooms.
I know. Okay, if I don't find it. Oh, I find mushroom. I'm sorry. I was in Austria, and my friend, he grew up in Austria, so he's a huge guy. He's like almost 200 pounds, but he could walk up and down the mountains with no problem at all. And we stay in his parents' has a guest house, and there was a French couple there, and they go into the mountain and they pick these mushrooms called Pfeifferlinger, and they're delicious little things. So this poem is about that. Looking for Pfeifferlinger, you can taste the woodland, the soil, even cool shade beneath the trees when they are lightly sautéed in butter with just a sprinkle of wine, salt, and pepper. The Rancinis know how to enjoy life. 3 months out of a year, they spend hiking in the Austrian Alps, picking mushrooms, preparing them at the Pembauhof for dinner, drying the rest on the terrace for future use. The little golden miniature gramophones sleep in the woods until Mistress Maritze spots them with her keen eyes. Her stubby fingers expertly loosen dark soil around the assemblage, scoops, and deposit them gently into her cotton pouch. Some fungus cousins are bolder, display their wide-brimmed caps in the middle of a grassy knoll, stunningly spotted in red and yellow. Deceptive ones nestle beside the edible lot, but they are not to be touched and tasted. Their poisonous nature have confused amateur and experts alike. But I'm willing to bet on my friend's expertise and temporarily forget the apprehensions associated with wild things to savor the nutty flesh, along with granules of sand, and what it is to be living on Earth.
I have one that's sort of nature and But it's under wonder.
Okay, well then you can stop there and we go to wonder.
Okay.
Maybe I can find driftwood.
It's called Aerial Show. May I call you Starling? There is a constellation you hundreds seem to honor with your swoops and rises, in unison going nowhere on an autumn afternoon above the water, refracting light and bending like a laser back into yourselves. No more than an idle thought, one note into the next, but 100 times done for the fun of it.
I found driftwood, and actually it was in the category wonder, so it's in time, the smallest sprouts of the forest stretches into giant redwood. It remains like that. In time, lightning strikes, saps the wood, snaps the trunk, plummets to the floor. It remains like that. In time, a whimper turns to roaring waves upon waves, redefines path, relocates driftwood, bearing fossils of snails, chipmunk teeth, and woodpeckers' forgotten seeds. Your journey begins after a myriad years. It is still the same sun, moon, star. It is still the same earth, but you are loosened, swaggering downstream. Smash on the banks, startle deer and seagull looking to land. Bang on the rocks, draw your splinter weapons without apology. Rush at the fish, they gape at your own impotence. Driftwood, you have salt on your skin, stars on your belly. Dance, dance with the eagle. He serves the wind, you rock the waves. No roots.
This is in my book, Suburbs of Childhood. This is the earliest poem in the book, but it's the last poem in the book. Song of Almagest for Doreen Stock. Dead center in the living universe, I am Ptolemy, finally going around the sun. A bird sings, my feet on the ground, the earth, there had been silence, it was necessary. Gravitational involvement, perhaps. A beautiful, clear voice relative to none. Silence shattering. A beautiful, clear night relative to none. The Milky Way and other galaxies pulsate their light. Andromeda is our neighbor. Explosions of energy, intergalactic collisions, emissions, fusions. A star is creating itself. The universal factory, the cosmic heap, lost in vacuous void of twinkling blackness. The mammalian eye, the human ear, blind and deaf, dumbfounded for expressions. Neck muscles tilted back, looking up, aware of the skin of existence, aware of the eye. Through nebulous clarity, bright stars shine, evolve, each with the power to light a million moons, each with the power to bring starless day to the planets it lords over. Listen, here now explains my error. The bird's sweet song is heard over the sun's thunder.
Meditation. You sit through time like aspens rustle in windless grove. I see only your face. who is to say there's no struggle under the soil? Roots grapple, choke each other to hatch in splendid dresses. Ruby, sapphire adorn the crowns. Forget me not. The rock you sit on is born in pain, slammed into existence. It is blind, deaf, stubborn, and cold. Who would consider the gait of a bird, the quiver of a spider? I greet you with reverence because I have prevailed from wolf's mouth with a full moon on my back. I recognize your calm. It is a deliberate balance.
I guess I won't do that one because I can't find it.
Do you have another wonder?
I'll jump into my other.
Your other wonder?
This is an homage to Michael McClure. Mammal grin. I am the spirit that wears this meat. I am in the catbird seat. Aren't we all? Aren't we all? Changing flesh, making it fresh as snow leopard saliva, the remnants of roar, a pure emotional score. And we buried it in sediment, the dust of shedded skin, layered in psychic canyons and played out in current catwalk fashion. It's there, just like my youthful head of hair. Last life's trauma is a train going by. Last life's trauma is a train going by. A part of us knows. A part of us knows. It's not rational. I hear echoes from the canyons. It's not rational. It's not rational. It's an elephant seal chasing me off the beach. I am meat running to run again. Mammal grin, mammal grin. And my soul shines like Arcturus, and I am meat running to run again. To have memories. We make them up, wake them up. Memories create context up like shooting stars across our minds. We are sensing the invisible surrounds us. The invisible surrounds us like our bodies surround the spaces between our cells. The invisible surrounds us and we see it with our meat. We see thing and know now, a threshold of moments. Meat movies with our soul light shining through. Memories, we make them real. Good.
I think I have one that would fit, that would follow
okay.
This one really well. This is titled Semblance. Blackbirds laced between sky and water steer me toward the murky divide. In the rippling reflection, three shadows, one hunches, one blooms like a rose, one shimmers without form, all cry to me. The first voice hoarse, beckoning, the second peals, the third, with immense patience, speaks to my dreaming. With rapture, I reach out only to touch the coarse hem, and a rose sobs. Trace of lavender, dew's vapor, and dandelion in the air draw me to the river. Together, ribbons cast away, so callously by the sun.
Why aren't you change and you go do two?
Two what? Two of
do
these?
Two in a row.
Do two in a row?
Yeah.
Pick something else then.
Yeah.
Okay. So. How about intense, angry? Do some angry poems.
Okay.
Okay. I have to stand up for angry poems. Okay. This one, I went to a music school in New Jersey, and and it's called Westminster Choir College, and I studied church music there, and they also have a piano department. And one day this woman, probably when I was in my second year, she was a transfer student. She came to the campus, and she's always wearing a black cape, and she's always cursing at people. And I came from Hong Kong, and I get really scared when I hear people, you know, cursing. So I try to avoid her. But eventually, we became very, very good friends. I found out that she, when she graduated from high school, she married her her professor of composition, which is, he's like 30 years older than she is, but within a year he died of cancer, and so she's in this constant mourning state. So this is written for her, and it's titled Mrs. Morris. You like my Papillon by Schubert. That's why you're talking to me, you little snooty English-bred Chinese. Otherwise, you wouldn't care for this tiny witch who curses worse than a man and haunts the campus with a long black cape. I am a woman among girls, and your simplistic face tells me you don't know about life, you don't know about death. All you care is how this phrase is shaped and which fingering works best in a difficult passage such as this. You don't know about long dark days and long dark nights cradling hopelessness in your arms. What's not written in the score is a soul you cannot imagine until you feel intense love and intense loss and the perpetual wonderment of your own existence. Your reserved manner gives me the creeps. Fuck! See how good it sounds when you say it crisp and clear. It snaps the stuffiness out. My dear girl, when I walk the ground in my mourning cloak, I'm not trying to get attention. I'm not asking for sympathy. In this mobile dark room with velvety soft folds, I reminisce the moments of ecstasy. Since then, curse words are nothing to me. Okay, so you want me to read two? I have. I have this. Okay. No, this one. I'm divorced from my husband, and he's a very intelligent man, so I was intimidated by how smart he is. So this is sort of after an argument, I wrote this. I loathe exact science, pure mathematics, logical, theoretical validations, problems that can be solved by equations. My tongue freezes at the first round of reasoning, stumped by statistics, reports, and surveys. I am forced to say things that I don't mean and resort to raw emotions against insurmountable evidence. I am one. My tools are not precise. My perception is liquid with time. My passion does not propel the wheel of knowledge. Rather, it limps along the history of mankind, falling precisely into the category of fatuity.
Okay. This is called The Folded Lie, The Truth Unfolds. And it's for Edwin Markham and W.H. Auden. The theory of Auschwitz curls in a red tide over Auschwitz. The theory of evolution curls in a red tide over Auschwitz over and over. Fish belly up, slap against the shore, awaiting the wizard to turn them into possum. A step up the ladder and another chance to draw from community chest. How no one dared believe it, yet for others so logical, so methodical, one might say so business as usual, the seeds we planted at Sand Creek, at Wounded Knee, Evanston, over and over. How salvation would come in completion. Who calls these rocks inanimate, this earthy dirt from which springs begonias in late summer? How the past takes form, grows with us, changes no longer physical, yet neither are we, the living present, that small trapped sum. We must speak it of it often, how the earth spins as it circles the sun. I have seen the dead buried. They will not be forgotten. No, never. After each and every memorial and museum and renovated relic crumbles into dust, the dead will continue to flow through us, blood cell and tissue, the deeds we have done. The company that comes for dinner each night will again tell us the great expense of dredging up dinosaurs, how necessary they are for bumper-to-bumper angst and whiplash fortunes. It's a fact, my life is easier than John the Baptist, but there and here, in exclusion, the complications begin. I will never believe it, no, that if the theory is true, at one time and one place, all has come to this, and moves on. This is was my first attempt at a pantoum. I gave it up at the end. Queen of Heaven pantoum. I have issues. Another war. A new generation of jealous leaders. What do they have against the Queen of Heaven? Another war. More brothers and sisters dying, bleeding. What do they have against the Queen of Heaven? They act as if she doesn't exist. More brothers and sisters dying, bleeding, both sides lying, needing love. They act as if she doesn't exist. She is the brightest star. Both sides lying, blindly needing compassion. She is the brightest star. She nurtures us. We need your compassion. Goddess, heal us. Always she nurtures us. Are we too arrogant to see? Goddess, heal us. They have forgotten the miracle of heartbeat. Are they too arrogant to see? They've limited all that is to a gender, a new generation of jealous leaders. I have issues.
Thank you.
Do you have enough of these angry?
Huh?
Do we have enough rants?
That's my two angers.
Okay. I have one more.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, and then we change to something else.
Okay.
Peace. Peace is on my tongue. I have not swallowed. Therefore my teeth are clenched, my throat is parched, my pulse is racing, my chest is in pain, my stomach sick, my mind muddled, my vision blurred. Peace is on my tongue. I have not swallowed. Therefore I hurl my axe, fire my gun, rape women, starve children, neglect the elderly. Therefore those who look upon me find hate, jubilantly, victoriously, thriving in my every cell. Peace is on my tongue. I have not swallowed.
Want to go into dark? Since we're sort of entering that kind of energy?
Okay.
About 2 years ago, I got haunted by my cousin. And that's what... This is yet another pantoum. I have too many pantoums. But that's how it came out. Cousin Rick. Cousin Rick was not a statistic. He went to Vietnam as a helicopter mechanic and returned. He called me 2 weeks before he died. He went to Vietnam. It was not a choice. He called me 2 weeks before he died. That was 10 years ago. Why now? It was not a choice. He was drunk. He was angry. That was 10 years ago. Why now? He was my first playmate. He was drunk. He was angry. I was shaking. He was my first playmate. We fought a lot. I was shaking. He was confessing. We fought a lot. We worked together. He was confessing. Wasn't always a mechanic in Nam. We worked together. Tore down houses and saved the lumber. Wasn't always a mechanic. I loaded bodies into planes a lot. Tore down houses and saved the lumber. It's the faces. I loaded bodies into planes. He took up taxidermy. It's the faces. Dead animals hung from his ceiling. He took up taxidermy. Live lizards and snakes, cages in his bedroom. Dead animals hung from his ceiling. Drugs don't stop the dreams. Live lizards and snakes, cages in his bedroom. He fed them daily. Drunks don't stop the dreams. But the body breaks down. He fed the silence daily. Cousin Rick was not a statistic. But the body breaks down. The helicopter mechanic returns.
I have a ghost poem too. I put it in a different category. Should I read
that? Maybe that's it's a ghost.
Maybe it's a ghost. A ghost poem. So the date of this, I wrote it after I saw part of the Olympic opening ceremony. The ghost of old Peking. I'm the ghost of old Peking, treading down wide avenues that lead to emperors and dowagers, huddling in the corners of their gilded bedchambers, quivering behind high ceiling beams. They hide from their fellow ghosts, massive like the wild wind sand that seeps into cell phones and cameras. I watch a woman in the alley where I was born, weeping, pleading at the bulldozer that is raising her home in the sweltering heat. My granddaughters, my great-grandsons, holding a stack of bills in their hands, money from the officials, money to take away their homes, money to erase their past. Suddenly, my granddaughters, my great-grandson, see me standing among them. We walk in the rubble that was a night eatery, with long tables and benches, green fermented soy soup, spicy lamb guts, and sugar-coated fruits are part of the ruins now. The rubble turns into new rows and dwellings to host guests from afar and to be sold millions more than the crumbled bills clutched in my grandchildren's hands. They erect steel beams into the air, crisscrossing them into the shape of a bird nest, into a sports stadium of 91,000 seats. A new prince is born. Presidents, royalty, prime ministers, and people of the world travel here to pay homage to the new babe. On the eighth day of the eighth month of the year 2008, the spectacle begins. I point with my long flowing sleeves 3 feet beyond my fingers to the fireworks shooting out of the stadium, shooting at high heavens to flaunt the glory of man. From a forgotten street in a neighborhood where no tourists will go, I listen to the cheering crowd and the dreamlike music sequence. My great-grandson, his teeth grinding, crouches like a sick animal beside me. That night, he sleeps on the pavement with flies buzzing. He breathes in the wild wind sand as the fever burns inside his brain. In the yellow morning smog, the white of his eyes are tinted red. I'm beside him when he steps the tourist. One, two. I'm beside him when he jumps to his death. I'm the ghost of old Peking, treading down wide avenues, leading to emperors and dowagers. I'm the haze of that sunless sky, the blackness between the blinking of your eyes. Let's change the subject.
Yeah. That might be a good thing.
Light?
Light would be good. Good. How about spring?
Spring is good.
I've been wanting to read this. So. Spring. And for all the craziness and death, I find I'm still in love with, among others, myself. Oh, adventurers would find me boring as they venture up their mountain. I'm nowhere near their trail. Still, spring courses through me like a fifth cup of coffee in an hour. I walk monoxide sidewalks searching for something in the windows to redeem my idle habits. Mere objects have never held me for long, unless they have meaning to engage my wit. Otherwise, they're just someone else's elevators going up to a price tag I'm not willing to pay. The traffic, and yours truly, always has had a mind of its own that honks when it thinks it's right. Do I ignore responsibility? We can think we do. Everything that's done to, by, for us, well, we can choose the moon. It enters. Our lives on such a regular basis, we take it for granted. Then one night, much like any other, except it's this night, under the deepening blue sky with all its bright twinkling thises, the moon appears, big and pale, crescent yellow, just above the hill, reflecting off electric skyscraper windows. Everything I feel tells me, honk! What is distance when spring is coursing through?
It's like spring fever. This is Mona Lisa. What are you doing in Paris, Mona Lisa? installing yourself landscape and window to smirk in the Louvre. So I come, hearing your name among hurried footsteps. In the musty room, your yellowness feels like the sweat on my back. You wilt in front of the crowd as they bristly pay homage. It's been too long, Mona Lisa, perhaps. Perhaps you age even faster. When Botticelli's Venus shuffles across the room, clad in tight jeans, her spring buds teasingly protrude under a white camisole, golden hair unbrushed, dirty toes forked on pink thorns, wind softly behind her mother, would not look you in the eye. I think she has a room of her own now, but when I was there, she was in this big hall with, you know, like a million people in there.
The opening. As if someone slit the surface of an overripe earth and the juice just rose up through rock to reveal itself. Eel River, Fortuna. You are here with friends, one who knows the area, one who carries a field guide with colored pictures of birds. You sit on the bank, on boulders extending from the tangle of branches you squeeze through to get here. A long left towards town and a longer right, slighted by the sun's glare. Over there, across the way, the river recedes from the row of trees, leaving a layered beach complete with skipping stones. In winter, when the water is high in a darker shade of green, those trees are tested. You think of the January failures that contribute to this June panorama. Suddenly, a bird bursts from the bushes, cutting the air with uneven geometry, flurry and dash, dart. Definitely a swallow, your friend says, leafing through the book. Here, this one, a barn swallow, the rust-colored breast. This amazes you, not for the naming, but what is not. Trees, bushes, birds you can hear, boulders and rocks. The vision extends into the shadows of the shapes you feel, coming from within, something deeper you feel. Something deeper than the sense of it, or any pronoun, like calm. An immediate knowing, that feeling, angels, the synchronicity extends throughout. Molecule, subatomic particle, the long loping phrase of a great blue heron heading west. To know each and every name and to speak them in a moment, the moment unnamed, unknown. And still we try and often we extend what we know. Always we go beyond this into the realm of angels. The siren song the silence presents to us, circles in a river. What a mouthful the swallow is, how it dips, dives its beak into the water, the drops slip and slam against the surface, reuniting the river in our eye to our heartbeats and our souls. How we are carried by this current to bend, to swell, to rush, and to loose these selves into the ocean that curls upon itself to greet us. The angel's song permeates all from timeless within, moving in and out of focus, in and out of form, like those drops my swallow spills. I know nothing but this feeling, to have it broken like that row of trees, a hole in the middle of the mountains miles away, rise, stunning in their great green coats. How it all changes. The higher flying heron replaced by the kingfisher looking for a meal. The river's the constant, and the river isn't, as sun sparkles from the bobbing current crests, the process of choice. I wonder what my eye sees in its own completeness. This feeling remains joyous in its own.
What is the capital of New Zealand?
Is it Wellington or Auckland?
Auckland. Thank you. I've been trying to think about it since I read that firm poem. Okay, so we landed in Auckland, my daughter and I. And I have a poetry partner, his name is Bill Mercer. He plays the shakuhachi, which is the Japanese bamboo flute, and we would recite poetry together. And he has a friend, his name is Akira Okoso, a Japanese friend who taught him how to play the shakuhachi when they were young. Akira was in the United States. So this time when we went to Auckland, Bill asked me to go visit Akira. And so I wrote this poem after I came back. Urban Hermits. He breathes your name through the bamboo wind, Akira. As you walk down Queen Street, slip past a man-child and woman-child, shoving and laughing rambunctiously, taking up the whole sidewalk. Your soundless presence is transparent to them. They don't understand there is not much that would make you laugh or cry, angry or bitter. The wrinkles around your eyes are the only prize life has reaped from you. Akira, when he plays his flute, it brings you to him, to reminisce the giddiness once possessed you both, hanging onto the edge of a capsized boat, boisterously waving at fishermen for rescue. His hair is silver now, but when he paints, his brush strokes are strong and steady, and his music travels the universe like shooting stars. And you, light as a leaf, sail down the bustling street, calm as a flowing stream, polished like pebbles on the riverbed.
What are we doing?
Do you want to do one more, or how you feel about it?
Well, I don't know how the audience is feeling.
Yeah.
I think it's more important that
you
want
to
hear more. Go on a little bit.
Can you do Wonder?
Wonder, we did Wonder.
It was
yeah.
The...
Let's see, we've done Intense, Wonder, Sweet and Sour, Light, Dark, and Green. So we have Red, which I already read. we have Blue and Sad. Blue. Do you like
it? Did you do that Driftwood piece?
Yeah.
That's Wonder.
Oh,
that was Wonder, yeah.
Would you read it to us one more time?
Do you like Driftwood? You sure? Yeah? Okay. Well, I have to find it now. I think it's in the back. Driftwood. In time, the smallest sprout of the forest stretches into giant redwood. It remains like that. In time, lightning strikes, snaps the trunk, plummets to the floor. It remains like that. In time, a whimper turns to roaring waves upon waves, redefines path, relocates driftwood, bearing fossils of snails, chipmunk teeth, and woodpeckers' forgotten seeds. Your journey begins after myriad years. It is still the same sun, moon, star. It is still the same earth, but you are loosened, swaggering downstream, smash on the banks, startled deer and seagull looking to land. Bang on the rocks, draw your splinter weapon without apology. Rush at the fish, they gape at your omnipotence. Driftwood, you have salt on your skin, stars on your belly. Dance, dance with the eagle. He serves the wind. You rock the waves. No roots. Thank you. You want to do blue?
I'll end with a short poem. Divine nature is still looking for memory. Examine your mental states throughout the day. She knows she put it somewhere.
So, last poem?
That was my last poem.
Okay.
So you.
Mine is longer. This is titled The Sea Between the Ripples. I told you on that windy day as we sat on the beach, the seagull hopping with one stump was oblivious of its savored claws, and the shell with the iridescent pearl may not appreciate its pregnancy. Through rock crevices where water rushed into tide pools, there's a sea between the ripples. As the sun started falling, I said, it was for love that we should part. The wind began to howl, gathered sand, and flung them hard. It was not the pain on my cheeks, nor the cold stare that made me cry, but the tiny grains scattered in the air that had intruded my eyes. As we picked our way home, I found the path wound under our feet was never the same road twice. When our muddled footsteps, the slime of snails, pebbles, seaweeds, and down of gulls sowed legacy in the soil. I asked you, as we settled beside a crackling fire, spiced tea warming our hands, in our limited number of days, there is more life between time than we could ever live. Why then should nostalgia tarry and let the present flee? Thank you very much for listening. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.